Bengal Buzz, a show featuring interviews with noteworthy ISU alumni, students, faculty, and friends. This program is dedicated to exploring and celebrating the individual stories and accomplishments of Bengals.
Program support for KISU's Bengal Buzz is provided by a grant from ISU Credit Union. With offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello, ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including home, auto and RV loans, and credit cards, plus over 5,000 shared branches nationwide and much more. Bengal Buzz, supported by ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.
Tonight on Bengal Buzz, Ryan Sargent sits down with author and ISU graduate Tamberlee Woolsey to talk about her literary work, P.S. You're It. Now the host of Bengal Buzz, Ryan Sargent.
Well, welcome to Bengal Buzz tonight. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Ryan Sargent. I'm your host and also the alumni director here at Idaho State. I am so excited for tonight's guest. Tamberlee Woolsey is a former alumni board member. She's been very active in the Alumni Association. I've known her for several years through that and other ISU things. But I'm excited because Tamberlee just wrote a new book called P.S. You're Worth It. Just came out a couple of weeks ago. Tamberlee, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. It's good to see you again.
I'd say. I think it's been since last football season.
Yep.
So
yeah,
football season always reunites everybody.
It does, especially alumni groups.
That's right. Well, what have you been up to?
Well, the book, obviously. You know, just work. I work out at the site. Got a grandbaby that's a year old. That is the highlight of my world right now.
She should be.
Yeah, she's amazing. So just life in general.
Yeah, well, I read your book this week in preparation for our interview. I was so impressed. I think that you're a fantastic writer.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So,
I love it.
So, Tamberlee, let's start off just talking a little bit about yourself and your association with Idaho State. You have two ISU degrees.
I do. I have an associate's in civil engineering and then a bachelor's in geomatics, which is kind of just a glorified civil engineering degree. And it's been a good career. I've moved over into the environmental engineering field. Uh-huh. That's what I do right now. Seems to mesh with my personality a little bit more. I got certified to be a life and career coach in 2014, which has kind of led me on this path of, you know, this book and self-help, and that's kind of really where my passion's at.
Yeah, so what inspired you to write the book? I mean, I really am impressed with how well written the book is, but I had no idea that you were a writer.
It's crazy because I talk about in the beginning of the book, I was kind of a troubled teenager, was a bad kid, but I used to write a lot of songs and poems when I was younger. It was kind of, you know, the way that I escaped my reality or whatever. And I've been a breakout session speaker at a couple events, the Women's Business Symposium and some ISU facilities, and work with a bunch of troubled kids. And I just had a couple of people tell me after that, you should really write a book. And I just kind of chalked it up as whatever. I can't write, you know, that's not what I do. And then I just, you know, I'm kind of going through a transition state in my life right now. And I decided just to write it this winter. And it, like I said, it was more of a therapeutic thing for me. And then when I got done with it, I had, you know, Mandy Everett read it, Tina Bowden read it, a couple of girls in my book club, and they're like, this book is amazing, you should get it out there. And did some research. And learned.
So it was written without any you know, initial intent to publish or anything?
It was something for me to, you know, I teach as a coach, I teach all these people skills and tools to, you know, help them grow and discover things about themselves. And I was in a point where I'm like, man, I teach this stuff, but I'm not even, you know, I'm not even utilizing it myself. What the heck? And so I'm like, you know what? I've got the time. I'm going to write a book. You know, we'll see. And we'll just see where it takes me. And voila, here it is.
So I think writing a book is just such a remarkable thing to be able to do. How long did it take you?
It only took about 3 months to actually write it. Once I started digging into it, it just kind of flowed. You know, I think a lot of people have stories to tell. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, it takes courage to put a lot of stuff out in front of the world. I mean, there's some really, really personal stuff in this book. There's a big part of it that was about my mom, and some factual stuff that I was a little bit worried. I had her read it, you know, of course, uh-huh. before I publicized it. But, you know, I mean, the people that are around you, the people that are in the book, it takes a lot of courage, I think, to get out there. But there's a lot of people that want to tell their story. They just don't know how to do it. And writing, honestly, for me, it came easy. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of other people, they think of, oh, my gosh, a book.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just a Pocatello girl. I never thought that I'd, you know, write a book and have it published. But it's really not that hard.
Well, it certainly is engaging. I mean, as I read the book, it was engaging the whole way through. It flows really well. And it's an easy read.
Good.
But you're right. It is very personal. You open up mm-hmm. about some very private things. You showed the portion about your mom to your mom. But you have kids. I mean, how has your family reacted?
So my children are on board with all of this stuff anyways. You know, I've done a lot of coaching with them in general. My son specifically with school stuff. And they're proud of me, which, you know, is pretty, which is pretty awesome. You know, I mean, you show by example, and that's one of my biggest goals in life is to make sure that my kids, you know, grow up to do things that make them happy and careers that, you know, fulfill them and set goals. And I mean, that's kind of what this whole book is about is, you know, just, you don't have to settle for a mediocre life, you know, no matter what your circumstance is, no matter where you're at in life, you can always grow and move. And, you know, as humans, that's what we were meant to do anyways. You know, get out there and enjoy life. That's why we're here. It's short.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a grandbaby. You're like, all of a sudden, oh my gosh.
Make the most of every minute with her, right?
She's already a year old. I can't believe it.
Yeah. So you start the book off talking about when you were 16 years old and an experience that greatly impacted your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you say in the book that it's the first time that you realized that you could take control of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So like I said, I went through a phase in my teenage years where I just... My mom was making some decisions, you know, that were kind of altering everything I knew about life. And I got to a point where I was just super angry. And I had no idea what to do with that anger. And, you know, I just turned into a brat, really. I mean, just, you know, I was out partying. I didn't have uh-huh. any regards for anybody's feelings. I didn't care about anything. I just, it was like I was just throwing everything away. And, you know, like I say in the book, it's crazy how you remember specific things in your life, but I remember it like it was yesterday, just laying there going, man, there has got to be something better uh-huh. for me, you know, because I wasn't going anywhere and I was going to be in that situation. And I see my friends that I hung out with then that are still in that situation. And it's so sad. And it was hard, you know, making that decision and, you know, crawling back to, you know, my mom and my family that the relationships that I had totally destroyed, you know, with humility. I'm like,
So you had left home, if I remember mm-hmm. right, you write in the book that you had all your possessions in a garbage bag,
yep.
I think is what you say. And you were staying at a home when you were reflecting about this.
When I was about 15, my mom finally said, I've had it. I can't, you know, you got to go. If you know, if you can't abide by my rules or, you know, uh-huh. be a productive piece of society, you're going to have to go figure it out yourself. And yeah, I just grabbed some stuff and I couch hopped for a while. And then I ended up, calling this place home for, you know, a few months. And it just, I look back now and I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you for, you know, sparking something into my head. And walking away, you know, changing my friends was probably the hardest thing because at this point, they were my family. They were really all uh-huh. I knew. But at the same time, I knew that I needed to surround myself with different kind of people if I was going to, you know, grow into a different life. And by this time I had dropped out of school.
Uh-huh.
both semesters, I think I had like 3 weeks left each semester and just decided not to go anymore, which was ridiculous. But that was probably, you know, after leaving this guy's house, that was the one thing that I knew. If I could accomplish graduating with my class, then I just knew that, you know, the possibilities were endless. And I worked my butt off. I mean, I went to school all day, went to night school, went to summer school. And yeah, I think I talk about that too, walking across the stage. And I'm like, I don't think anybody knows how excited I am right now. You know, it's a high school, just a high school diploma. But for me, that was huge. It was huge.
So tell us what it feels like, that moment that you decide to take control of your life. You really emphasize that at the beginning of the book, that you, I think, didn't really know what the path was going to be, but you knew that you had the ability to be an agent under yourself, to make your own decisions.
Yeah, I just think there's, and I see this a lot with the teenagers that I work with. They, you know, they feel like they're products of their circumstances. You know, I come from this kind of family. I think I talk about that too. You know, I lived in a trailer park, and like, that's one of my worst fears is when I had kids. I'm like, and there's nothing wrong with trailer parks, but for me, you know, that was a memory that, I'm like, ugh, you know, would hold me down. And I just, I feel like once you learn how to take that first scary step, it's not nearly as scary as you think. I mean, it's just like anything in life, no matter, you know, what kind of personality you have or whatever, you think something is super, super scary. And then when you do it, you're like, oh, well, that wasn't
I made it through.
Yeah, that wasn't that. I didn't die, you know? So I think, you know, just that specific choice that I made, I don't know how to describe the feeling. I mean, it's a feeling of accomplishment and pride, I guess. You know, you're like, man, it might be little to somebody else, but to me, it was huge. And, you know, that it's kind of like setting goals. You know, people have these outlandish goals and they're like, oh, crap, you know, I'm just not going to make it. But if you break those down into smaller goals and celebrate the little tiny steps, it's fulfilling. It's, you know, it's exciting and you're happy for yourself, and then you find strength in that, and it just makes it easier and easier to accomplish more things in your life.
We're here on Bengal Buzz with Tamberlee Woolsey talking about her new book, P.S. You're Worth It.
You're It.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's
P.S.
No.
You're It. Did I add Worth It in the first time when I introduced the book?
You might have. I don't
know. Tell us about finding your why. You talk about that in the book. How does someone find their why, or how did you find your why?
That is a very good question, because honestly, I'm still searching on what my specific why is. But what I can tell you is, so I worked for Bannock County. Uh-huh. And we would hire some of the women prisoners to come up and do some work with us.
Sure.
And I would work alongside of them, helping them, you know, learn some new skills and, you know, just work with them. And I didn't really interact with them a whole lot, but I listened a lot. And just listening to their stories and, you know, what they had to look forward to when they got out, it was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is my why. You know, I always knew, and I talk about being in a natural helper in there too. I always knew that I was really good at listening to people. I was terrible about talking about myself, but I was really good at listening to people. And I could give other people pretty good advice. Didn't always take it myself, but I just always felt that, you know, I want to help people, you know, I want to be able to show by example that, you know, anything's possible. And I think that's kind of where my why started, was working with those women, because their support system is almost null. It's so sad, you know? And that's when I decided to get certified to be a life and career coach. And I've dabbled in it.
That's what took you down that path.
Yeah. Right? So I'm like, okay, there's got to be something that I can do to help these women. And I just started doing some research, and then I found, you know, this coaching thing. It's still pretty new to this area. but it's led me into a lot of different amazing places. You know, for 2 years, I tried to get a life and career coaching course into the high schools here in Pocatello. Uh-huh. That's what I really, really wanted to do. But unfortunately.
What would that entail? Like certifying high school kids to be life coaches, or just getting life coaches in to work with?
No, so basically what I wanted to do was I had curriculum that I could do from ninth grade until they were seniors that involved anything from job interviewing skills. I mean, things as simple as like looking at somebody in the eyes, mm-hmm. shaking hands, you know, filling out stuff for college, just some life skills. And actually, my son's the one that gave me the idea because I was doing some self-exploration stuff for him before he was going to college. And he's like, Mom, we need this stuff in the high school.
Yeah, this would be beneficial for everyone. Huh?
Yeah. So I haven't completely given up on that yet. It's a little bit challenging because of the political piece of it. But I don't know. I'm all over the place. I mean, yeah. I know my why is definitely to help people. I don't know, maybe this book, you know, maybe this book is it.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
it's my stepping stone.
Well, it's definitely accessible, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, I could see a high school student reading this book.
Yeah.
And comprehending it and,
yep.
and being moved. It's interesting that you bring up working with the women incarcerated in Vanna mm-hmm. County. I was a prosecutor for a few years, and I was surprised how impacted I was by getting to know the people that I was prosecuting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're exactly right. I mean, they come from difficult situations, many of them. And I would think, man, if I would have just made a few decisions differently, I could be in a similar situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's really just, you know, you talk about these paramount moments in your life throughout mm-hmm. the book that really have charted your course. And I think... Yeah, that, you know, everyone has these paramount mm-hmm. moments, and you can make a decision that sends you the other way as well.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, again, going back to the women, you know, I think, and it's, you know, I was a felony probation and parole officer uh-huh. for a while, so, you know, I know how a lot of people think. But just the one or two that you could reach, you know, just to get it in their mind that, dude, you can do this.
Yeah.
Like, you have a choice. You know, you can go this way or you can go this way, but the choice is yours. And some of those people have never even heard that. You know, mm-hmm. they have no self-worth. They don't know that they have choices. You know, I just want to reach out and grab them all and, you know, you can do this. You can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very rewarding to, and I think it's very neat, kind of the diversion courts that we're developing right now in criminal justice. But I was involved with a drug court, and it was so rewarding to see people change their lives.
Oh, my gosh, graduation. So I sat in a couple of them, and, like, I would cry like a baby because it is rewarding to see, you know, I mean, it's a two-year journey for these guys. And I mean, they are under somebody's thumb the whole time. And it takes a lot of courage and inner strength to make it through these programs. But I agree. They're amazing, amazing programs. That was one of the reasons why actually I tried to do the felony probation and parole thing.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that you were releasing a book. I just found out because we're Facebook friends.
Mm-hmm.
You put it out on Facebook and I saw it, you know, a couple weeks ago. And so I bought the book and talked to you about coming in and doing this interview, but I read your book. And as I was reading your book, I'd already started a book by, David Brooks called The Second Mountain. That's not dissimilar from what you were writing about.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how even an ordinary person's life or a comfortable person's life can be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's an interesting thought to read about, especially when reading your book and realizing, yeah, everyone has these struggles and these opportunities to improve.
Mm-hmm.
David Brooks calls it the second mountain in that, you know, we often think of career or material success
mm-hmm.
As the most important thing. That's the first mountain. And you
right.
can gain that. And then you realize, well, life still isn't all that fulfilling.
Yeah.
You've got to find the second mountain,
mm-hmm.
Something that's more deep. And I think you hit on what he would call the second mountain in your book. You have a chapter about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Oh, so that was probably the hardest chapter to write in this book. I'd sit down in the morning and with my coffee and I'd start writing it and I would lose it. Because mostly the chapter is about my best friend that was murdered when we were 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And I kept kind of in contact with her parents, so her mom passed away a few years ago, unfortunately. In the last few years, I've really started to develop another relationship with her dad.
Uh-huh.
And so I called him up and asked him, you know, if I could interview him about, you know, Cassie's murder. And he was gung-ho. It was intense. It was crazy. It was super emotional. But he was a trooper. You know, that I told him right out of the gate, you know, this is what I want out of this chapter. You tell me what you want. At any time, we can stop. You don't have to share, you know, anything you don't want to. And we sat down for a few hours and, you know, we had to take a couple of breaks. He'd get, you know, he'd have to excuse himself, but
uh-huh.
He'd come right back and jump into it. And I probably more than the book itself, but on a personal level for both him and I think it was super healing, super bonding. But I think forgiveness is a huge, huge deal because there's a lot of people that not only don't know how to forgive other people, but they don't know how to forgive themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like that is, it's a hand that holds you down from soaring. You know what I mean? And there's a difference between forgiving and forgetting. And, you know, my main goal for that chapter was to help people release, like, guilt and, you know, things that are holding them down from really having a super happy, healthy life. You know, one of the things that I discovered with Cassie's murder, and I talk about this in the book, is, you know, while I didn't know this guy, we still had some sort of relationship that he had no control over. It was all me, and I was allowing that relationship to hold the good memories back. I only thought about the bad things, you know, when it happened and all that. And when I was able to finally go, you know what, I'm just gonna release that. I'm just gonna release that. And Frank and I think, you know, both of us have gotten to that point. Of course, his is a lot different than mine.
Sure.
But it was so rewarding to be able to just reminisce about, you know, the good things that we've learned from this tragedy. It was one of my most favorite chapters in the book is that
yeah.
one.
Yeah. You conclude the book by with a chapter called Live Your Life Without Regrets. Mm-hmm. How do you live a life without regrets?
Yeah, I think it's a skill. Honestly, it's just like anything else that you learn. I mean, you can't just go, you know what, I forgive myself and, you know, I'm not going to live with regrets anymore. I mean, honestly, you have to find the reasons why you don't want to live with those regrets. You have to find your why, your, you know, the... I mean, things, regrets just hold you back. I mean, they're like duct tape, you know, yeah. all over your body. I mean, they're, you know, weight of the world on your shoulders when really there's nothing that you can do about it. You know, you just have to embrace it, learn from it, and go, it is what it is. I have thousands of regrets, you know, and I mean, even today I still do things that I regret. But the difference is now is I can go, all right, I learned from this, you know, uh-huh. I grew from it. I got something out of it and I'm just going to leave it behind and move on because there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. There's it's something done. About examining yourself and then just improving, mm-hmm. just moving forward.
Yep. Absolutely.
We've got just a few minutes left.
Okay.
But a lot of our listeners are students. We're broadcasting on a university campus.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for college students? You know, which can be a difficult part of life, an exciting part of life. Definitely, I think, for most of us, a very transformational mm-hmm. Part of life. What advice do you have?
So I've got two kids, one that just graduated from ISU, and then my son's in the nuclear engineering program here. And the advice that I give them on a daily basis, and they probably roll their eyes every time we talk about it, but right now money's important to them, right? They think they just want to graduate and start making money. And I get that money's important. I'm not naive to that fact. But find out what your passions are. Find out your core values. You know, seek out a career. If you think it's a career that you're not going to make a lot of money in, but you love it, I promise money will come with it later. I swear it.
Yeah.
But dig down and do some self-exploration and find a career that you're going to be happy with. And it's easier said than done, you know, to not focus so much on building your career and, you know, all of those tangible items, but enjoy, like enjoy life. I mean, study hard, you know, reap the benefits of pushing yourself, but, you know, spend time with your family, spend time with your friends. Like, you know, I talk about dancing in the rain and, you know, being goofy and crazy. And really, it's not until you get to like my age where you're like, oh, man, OK, maybe, you know, the boat that I have in the garage isn't as important as I thought it was. I love it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
sure.
want to get rid of it. But now it's more about having my kids and Nugget, you know, on the boat with me and just the time spent together. And you know, I mean, recently my grandma just passed away. And so last night we were having her celebration of life. And I'm like, you know, all these fancy things that we have are pretty amazing. But this, you know, my family and my friends, that's where happiness really comes from.
Yeah. That's why it's worth finding the happiness in the struggle, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of hard things I've done in my life or, you know, I went to law school, which was difficult. I didn't particularly enjoy it while I was going through it, but I look back on it now fondly because of the experiences, because of the friends that I saw every day and the shared struggle, you know, to learn a complex study.
It's the journey.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in class or at the study hall, the math lab or something, and just sitting there bawling because I couldn't do, you know, my calculus too. I couldn't figure it out or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'm never going to get through it. But you make
That's why I say political science, so I would never have to deal with calculus too.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the new book.
Thank you.
Tell us how our listeners can pick up a copy.
Just go to Amazon, type in P.S. You're It, Tamberly Woolsey, and it pops right up. You can get the hardcover, well, the paperback, I guess. Or there's an ebook out. My next goal is to do the audio part of it.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So I might get in touch with you or one of the students to maybe come in here and
Yeah, that'd be very neat.
Yeah.
I think that'd be very cool. Well, check out the book written by Tamberly Woolsey, an ISU alumna. We're proud of everything you do, and the book is definitely worth a read. But thanks for being on.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you.
We've provided audio of this interview as well as a link to the Amazon page where you can find Tamberly's book at kisu.org. Look for the post on the homepage. Coming up for the next 30 minutes, an archived edition of All Songs Considered, followed by Matt's Movie Tracks at 8. This is KISU-FM Public Radio for East Idaho.